prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning, Truth Revolution, where faith and reason coexist.
Yes, this together. Is where they meet and they greet and they hang out. They started to date each other and they're like, dude, let's get to know each other a little more. And then they decide they got married.
There you go.
Faith and reason. We can have faith in God as well as we can use in our brains. Be using our brains. I love when I say we can use our brains and I do improper English while I'm saying we can be using our brains.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. You don't have to necessarily know proper English to use your brain. That's the thing.
Well, everybody makes mistakes. How about that?
That's true.
All right. So today's show is going to be good. 40 questions for Christians. This article.
What?
Oh, yeah.
40 questions.
40 questions.
It can't be done.
We're gonna get through as many as we can.
Okay.
That would actually be less than a question per minute when you figure that we got the Bible contradiction, a listener question, the break in the middle of the show.
Let's get on.
So anyway, we're going to do the Bible contradiction, a listener question. Also, thanks everybody for feedback on the Cracked acronym. We want to know also if we're interested in maybe putting together a book about the Cracked acronym. So I'm pondering that idea. If there's enough interest, if we can generate enough interest, I will go ahead and start working on that.
I'm interested, like I said.
So we got at least one person. No, actually, we have had some interest. And so this is going to be, you know, if we get enough interest, I think, I don't have any hard numbers.
Right.
We need exactly 422 people. No, I don't know. But if there's enough interest, I'll put the effort into it and put a book together or maybe a mini book or something.
Okay.
So you got to contact us, questions@truthrevolution.tv. Or go to the website, truthrevolution.tv.
Yeah.
Let us know if that's something you might be interested in. The Cracked acronym is a way we solve Bible contradictions.
C-R-A-C-K-E-D. Each one of those stands for a letter, and each of those letters has something to do with how you interpret the Bible.
Yes, sir. I'm actually going on a speaking tour this year.
You're going on tour.
And this particular show...
And he's leaving me here.
...has been pre-recorded in advance, because I'm in Miami, Florida right now. Loving it.
Yeah, I bet
loving
you
it.
Are.
Doing a speaking tour, a part about Cracked.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about that right now. So if you are interested in book, just you know, go ahead and let us know. All right. So today, 40 questions for Christians.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. Fred, this is from the website, thomasswan.hubpages.com. And according to his website, I want to give you a little taste of who Thomas Swan is.
All right. Thomas Swan is an English writer and academic. He's an English academic.
That's what he says.
All right. Inspired by Carl Sagan's Cosmos, he became a doctor of physics in 2011.
Smart guy.
Yeah. For a list of peer-reviewed published articles, please see the website link that we'll probably give.
Yep.
It's thomasswan.hubpages.com. And with a growing interest in the evolution and psychology of religious thought, Thomas switched fields to obtain a master's degree in the cognitive science of religion in 2012.
Okay, so he goes on here, and he says if 100 different religions, he just throws out 40 questions that are supposedly challenges to Christianity or religion.
We're going to take that challenge.
And so we're going to take this challenge here. If 100 different religions have to be wrong for yours to be right, does this show that people from all over the world like to invent gods that don't exist? That's his question. Now we're gonna try to answer these fast so we can get through as many of them as we can.
Okay.
And the answer is do people like to invent gods that don't exist?
Sure.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, the history's rife with them.
There's gods all over the place. Now, I might qualify that. It's not that they like to invent gods that don't exist. It's that they create gods in their own image because they know internally that there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
And so they try to figure out who this is. They try to create gods in an image that they like and can appreciate.
Right.
And so that's how it comes about. It's not that they just make some that are fake. They just create, they know there's a God. And so they fashion what they think God is into something that they want to believe in or something in their own image.
That makes a ton of sense. You know, you realize that we're behind the eight ball because you just took over 2 minutes to answer that question.
Ah! We're way, we'll never finish now.
Might as well not do it, right?
this show's over.
All right. You want to hit the next question then? If your parents had belonged to a different religion, do you think that you would belong to that religion too?
Probably.
Yeah.
But not for sure.
Yeah, that happens a lot. But you know what? There's people crossing lines all the time. Red Rover, Red Rover. Send Bobby right over.
Right. You know, I mean, there's people whose parents were doctors, and so they became a doctor. If their parents had been shoe salesmen, maybe they would have become a shoe salesman. I mean, that's just, that's fine. It doesn't change.
My parents lived in Kansas. I live in Kansas.
Yeah, it doesn't change whether something's true or not.
Right.
It doesn't. So, I mean, maybe I would have been a different religion, but it doesn't change the fact that one is true and the other's false.
Right. And God is still God.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Next question. All
right, next question. If people from the five major religions are each told conflicting information by their respective gods, should any of them be believed?
Okay. We are told differing stories when we go to a court, right? The prosecution and the defense, they both give a different story. We got two conflicting stories here. Should we just not believe any of them?
No, we
got
to judge which one's right.
Exactly. You got to figure out which one's right. Yeah, of course there's all different religions all over the world and their conflicting information is coming from them.
But we have the jury of history.
Yeah, but what you don't do is you don't just throw it all out. You say, well, one of these is probably right and the others are not right. All right.
All right.
Next.
Well, this one has to do with communication with God. How can you tell the voice of God from a voice in your head? How can you?
The primary thing we do, because we believe God can speak to somebody, the primary thing you do is you compare it to the Word of God, the Bible.
Okay.
If it's something that is against what's already in the Bible, then you know it's not from God.
Right. But if it's something, man, yeah, honestly, let's test it. The thing is like, is it filled with love, what God is telling you? It, in the end, is it going to show God's love? Is it going to show His honor? All that stuff. If it's not, then forget about it.
Yeah. Is it honoring to God?
Right.
I mean, it's going to line up with what we see in the Word of God in the Bible. Yeah. If it doesn't line up with that, it can't be from God. Other than that, it is a bit of a process to learn how to discern the Spirit talking to you.
All right. The next question is much like that one. How can you tell the voice of God from the voice of the devil?
Same thing. You look at the Bible. If the voice in your head is telling you to do something that is against what the Word of God says, then you can be pretty certain that's either yourself or the devil. So, yeah. Next question.
All right. Would you find it easier to kill someone if you believe God supported you in that act?
And let's combine that with the next question.
Okay, the next question is, if God told you to kill an atheist, would you?
I will respond with another question.
Okay.
If they were in the military and a commanding officer told them to fire their weapon at an enemy, would they obey? Probably most people would.
Right.
If you were in the military and your commanding officer told you to fire a weapon at the enemy, people would
obey. Military,
that's right. You'd obey. If someone was on death row and they were legitimately convicted, ethically convicted and sent to death row, whether or not you agree with the death penalty, when someone, whatever, flipped the switch to execute that order from the government, would you consider a person to flip the switch a murderer? Most people would say no.
It's in the line of their job,
right?
But I wouldn't see how they could sleep at night, honestly.
Well, I mean, crazy. I would have problems with it too. But most people wouldn't say that he's a murderer. Mm-hmm. Why? Because when there is authority who has the right to take life,
right,
and that authority gives you that order, you're not considered a murderer for doing that. And so if that's what we say about mere humans, that, well, if a human who has the authority to take life gives you the authority, you can do so.
Right.
Then, I mean, well, certainly it's true with God.
And honestly, let's take it back to the two questions we just asked. I mean, how can you tell the voice of God from the voice in your head? You know, I don't really believe that God's going to come down and say, hey, go kill that person.
Right. Well, we already have a word from Jesus about that for us. Mm-hmm. And the word from Jesus from his time forward for his followers is, if someone strikes you in the right cheek, turn to the other.
Right.
You know, things like that. So we are no longer setting up an earthly kingdom where we're being peaceful. So.
There you go. All right. The next few have to do with morality. When an atheist is kind and charitable out of the kindness of his heart, is his behavior more or less commendable than a religious man who does it because God instructed him to?
I don't. Oh, I see what he's trying to get at. He's saying he's doing it because he wants to, whereas a religious person's doing it because God told him to.
Yeah.
Well, I would say two things. If you're doing it out of the kindness of your heart, then that's great. If you're doing it merely because it's a rule, then that's bad. If you're doing it because God instructed you to and you love God, then that's even better than doing it out of your own heart, because loving God is the ultimate good. Right. And so if you're doing it because you love God and then you do other goods, that is great. It's like saying, well, what if I give a cookie to a child just because I like to give cookies? Well, that's nice. But what if you give cookie to a child because you love the child? Like, that's even better. Right. If you love God and therefore you obey him, then that's the best.
There you go. All right. If you are against the Crusades and the Inquisition, would you have been burned alive as a heretic during those events?
Probably.
All right, that's it.
Next question.
If your interpretation of a holy book causes you to...
I don't understand why he asked that.
If your interpretation of a holy book causes you to condemn your ancestors for having a different interpretation, will your descendants condemn you in the same way?
No. Hmm. I don't think we don't really condemn people for having a different interpretation.
Right.
If he's referring back to the Crusades and Inquisition, we condemn them, but not because they had a different interpretation, but because they ignored what the Bible says.
Right.
They did, and those things were government sponsored, by the way. We've done this on the regular show before.
Right.
And so I condemn the government interaction with those things as well. I don't condemn someone for their views that are incorrect. I just simply say that I disagree with them.
Right.
And I expect people later to disagree with me on certain things. And they'd be wrong.
I disagree with you all the time.
And you'd be wrong.
I've been right a couple times. Yeah, whatever. All right, check it out. Here's the next one. This is kind of a weird question. Rape wasn't always a crime in the Middle East 2,000 years ago. Is that why do not rape is not part of the Ten Commandments?
Well, he's saying that just because it's not part of the Ten Commandments, that God is okay with it. That's ridiculous.
Well, it couldn't be part of the Ten Commandments, because if it was added, it'd be 11 commandments. So.
Right. There are lots of things that are wrong that aren't in the Bible.
All right.
It's wrong to illegally download software, but that's not in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not abolish Microsoft.
It's not the Ten Commandments, so I'll just go download illegal software.
Yeah, I mean, just because it's not the Ten Commandments doesn't mean God's okay with it.
All right. Let's see. The next question is,
what?
Do lions need God-given morality to understand how to care for their young, cooperate with a pack, or feel anguish at the loss of a companion? Why do we?
Well, he's acting like someone is born, and then God later on inserts something into them so they have the ability to feel things. These things we feel, the thing the lion feels, the God-given morality or the care for their young in a lion, was set in a lion because of who a lion is. When God created creatures, he made them that way.
Right.
He gave them instincts. When God created us, he gave us instincts. Every single person, every single creature is born with this. It's something that God created us with. As a matter of fact, he has a question he needs to answer. Why are we born with morality and the ability to care for others altruistically when it doesn't benefit us? That's not evolutionary at all.
No, it's not. It's actually the opposite of evolution.
Yeah, there has to be something inside of us that drives us to do that, even though it doesn't benefit us.
Okay. If organized religion requires a civilization in which to spread, how could this civilization exist without first having a moral code to make us civil?
His premise is wrong. Organized religion doesn't require civilization to spread. Next question.
Okay. Could you expound on that a little bit?
If you want me to. Right.
Now, the characteristics of God.
Okay.
An all-knowing God can read your mind. So why does he require you to demonstrate your faith by worshiping him?
I know exactly what my kids are going to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I still want them to do the right thing.
Amen.
God still wants us to worship him because it's the right thing. We worship God for who he is, not because what it does for us. God's amazing, and he's powerful, and he's loving, and he's kind, and he's creative, and he's the creator, and he made you, and he wants to know you, and he loves you. And even though you did wrong, he wants to forgive you. This is why we worship God.
Amen.
Not because... Well, I would worship you, God, because of all those things, but you know my head, I'm not going to do that. Forget it.
Jeez.
I know my wife loves me. I still love to have her hug me.
That's kind of a self-defeating question, really.
Yeah. All right, we're going to come back. I don't know, how many of these did we make it through? Did we make it through half of them yet?
No.
Oh, man.
Not even.
All right, so anyway, we're going to do as many of these as we can, but we're also going to do Bible Contradiction and a listener question on the other side of this break. And get to us. We love getting your questions. We've been getting great amounts of questions.
Amen.
TruthRevolution.tv. Love answering these things. We try to answer every question we can, at least via email, if not on the radio. So hit us up, TruthRevolution.tv. And also get out to Revolution Church, 9 and 11:15 a.m. every Sunday morning.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. We've been growing and now we're going to two services.
Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 11:15 a.m. Check us out at salinarevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Well, most people here hadn't been for a long, long time, if ever, so don't worry, you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11:15 a.m.
salinarevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Do science and religion conflict?
One author has seen four possibilities. They either conflict and are incompatible, or they're independent and just work in their own areas.
Or they dialogue, that is, they share information, or they integrate, meaning it's possible for them to work with each other regularly.
We prefer the dialogue or integration viewpoints. We believe that science is an attempt to find the truth.
And so is Christianity.
Both science and Christianity can contribute to the development of inclusive of metaphysics.
For instance, the teleological argument infers the existence of a creator from our understanding of the natural world.
On the flip side, understanding the mind of God gives us insight into the world and belief that there is order and logic behind how things work.
Similar to how early scientists like Newton, Kepler, and Copernicus viewed things.
For Christians, it should just make sense that studying the world around us should fit with studying the one who created it.
Amen.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
We are back.
Thank you. We're back. Thanks for listening. Yeah, TruthRevolution.tv. If you're interested in the cracked book, mini book, article, whatever it might end up being, let us know. TruthRevolution.tv. Or questions at truthrevolution.tv.
There you go. You can answer, you can let us know either way. And of course, while you're on the website, you can go ahead and check out our past shows and
Truth Shots, 60 Seconds of Truth.
You can even donate, man. We haven't asked for donations in a while.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know, I mean,
we always forget.
Yeah, you can support our ministry if you enjoy it, and you know, if you enjoy it as much as Jeff and I do, then you're obviously blessed because we enjoy doing this.
Dave, we are bad at soliciting donations.
We are terrible.
We're not good at that. Mm-mm. All right, hey, but come out to Revolution Church. We'd love to have you. We are part of Revolution Church. I'm the pastor there. Dave is the board member and bass player, and all around awesome guy there.
Oh, thank you.
That's his official title.
Was that some other guy? Some other Dave?
Yeah. So, all right. Before we get too far today, we're going to do Bible contradiction.
All right.
Contradiction.
All right, Bible Contradiction, brought to you by the fine folks from the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
All right.
And they're asking another question. Should we swear an oath?
I don't know.
All right, they're saying Numbers 30, verse 2, when a man breaks a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. So it's permissible, Numbers 30. Matthew 5. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven or by God's throne or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, or by any of these other things. All you need to simply say is yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. So it says no, it is not permissible to swear an oath.
Well, okay, our cracked acronym, the second C is credibility. Mm-hmm. Sometimes all you have to do is look at it and think, is there actually a contradiction here? Let's just think about this. Numbers 30, verse 2 says, when a man takes a vow, okay, when, but Jesus later says, you know what, you shouldn't even do that, okay? Just don't swear. Just say yes or no. That's not a contradiction. Jesus is saying you don't need to do that. You don't need to, your word needs to be so perfect. Your yes or your no are good enough by themselves.
Right.
But the book of Numbers is saying, you know, when you do take an oath, because I know people do, you better stick to it.
Yeah, and some people don't do that.
Right. That's not a contradiction at all.
So, and it's all about your heart, man. If you say yes to something or no to something, you better stick with it regardless.
That's right. I mean, I might tell, this is a stupid example, I might tell my daughter, look, I don't want you to talk to a boy that you like until you're 30 years old. But if you know, but if you do, I want you to keep these things in mind. Da, 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 da. I haven't contradicted myself. I've simply said, here's what I want, and here's what to do if you don't meet the perfect standard.
There you go.
You know, these are Jesus gives the perfect standard, and Numbers is giving us, you know, real world people are going to take O's anyway type thing. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
All right, that's the answer for a contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
All right, now back to these questions.
Yes. We got a lot of, there's 40 questions here. I don't know how many we've done.
It's crazy. I don't know what you've gotten me into here, Jeff, but anyway, let me see if I can find where I was at again. Let's see. If God is all-knowing, why do holy books describe him as surprised or angered by the actions of humans? He should have known what was going to happen.
Just because you're angry about something doesn't mean you're surprised. Okay, I could serve on a jury. Yeah. And let's say the guy was convicted of murder. I know for a fact that this guy was convicted of murder. But as I sit and think about it, I'm not surprised, but there can be anger inside of me of what he's done.
Right. And I think you touch on a good point there. Nowhere in the Bible do I ever remember anywhere where it says God was surprised.
Right. Never did God say, whoa, didn't see that one
now
coming.
We as humans, when we get surprised in a negative way, yeah, we get angry. Maybe that's how he's saying it.
Yeah, that's what this guy's thinking, but that's not true. The Bible does say things like God expresses regret, God is angry, God is he is disappointed. Sometimes he even looks like he's frustrated, but that doesn't mean that God didn't know what's going to happen.
Right. You know what? He created these emotions. We should allow him to have them, because I'm sure his version of those emotions are way more holy than ours.
Yes.
So, all right. An all-knowing God knows who will ultimately reject him.
True.
Why does God create people who he knows will end up in hell?
Just because someone is going to reject God, it doesn't mean that God is wrong for creating them. I know, you know, people, that your children are going to experience pain. You know it for a fact, yet you still have children. Why do you do that? Are you evil? Is it evil to have a child? Well, no. It's good to bring life into the world. It's good for God to create life.
Amen.
The fact that someone's going to freely choose of their own accord to reject God, that's not on God.
So. Right. Okay. All right. If, let's see.
If God is all-knowing.
Yeah, if God is all-knowing, then why did he make humans in the knowledge that he'd eventually have to send Jesus to his death?
Well, very clearly, the Bible tells us that God planned to send Jesus this way to demonstrate his love. He wanted us to know how merciful he was. And had he not done something like that, we wouldn't have known how merciful he was.
Right. There you go. Why did a supposedly omnipotent God take 6 days to create the universe? And why did he require rest on the seventh day?
Go listen to some of our shows about old Earth. Mm-hmm. We don't even think it was six exact days. The whole point was that God did it in orderly fashion.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and honestly, I mean, all these questions are really good for people who just don't have the answers. And that's what we're trying to do here.
We're trying to get 40 answers today. Don't know if we'll make it.
I don't think so. All right. And is omnipotence necessary to create our universe when a larger, denser universe would have required more power?
Omnipotence, that's all powerful. Being all powerful isn't necessary to create our universe. That doesn't mean God wasn't all powerful. Mm-hmm. To create a universe, you just have to be more powerful than our universe.
There you go. Why are churches filled with riches when Jesus asked his followers to give away their wealth?
Good question.
That is a good question. You don't have an answer to that, Jeff? Because
we're sinners?
Because people are sinners?
I would also say that churches, not all churches are filled with wealth and riches. Most churches survive week to week by the average person giving somewhere between $7 and $40 per week. That's not that much money, especially compared to what you pay for groceries or your cable bill.
There you go. All right. While in the desert, Jesus rejected the temptation of the devil. He didn't censor or kill the devil. So why are Christians so in favor of censoring many earthly temptations?
Yeah, I don't think we should be.
Because we're sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Given the story of Noah's Ark...
Wait a minute. If he means by law, I don't think we necessarily should be.
Right.
If he means we're trying to protect our children or something like that, then we should try to censor these temptations.
Hey, man.
So, but...
Because through experience, we know what's going to take them down a bad road.
Right. And Jesus didn't censor the devil because he wasn't going to cut off free will. He had to go through that temptation process, according to prophecy.
All right. Given that the story of Noah's Ark was copied almost word for word from a much older Sumerian epic of Atrahasis.
Not true.
Does this mean that our true ruler is the supreme sky god, Anu?
Yeah, this isn't true. It wasn't copied word for word. We did some truth shots on this. We've done an old show on it.
We did.
Go to the website, truthrevolution.tv.
There you go. If your desire is to convert atheists so that they will become more like you,
yes.
Do you think that you're currently better than them?
No. If you
maybe you should wait till the end of the questions. Yeah,
yeah. Two questions. I answered them both. Oh. Or if I have a better technology than you, and I want you to use it, I don't believe you're stupid.
Right.
I want you to have an advantage. I have an advantage because I know Jesus. That I want you to have that advantage.
Right.
I want you to experience what I can experience.
Yeah, it's not that we're better than them. It's that we hold on to something better than them.
That's right. Thing. Okay, we're going to try to answer a listener question.
All right. I got a question. All right, this listener wants to know, Jesus is God, and we are told he is the same as the God of the Old Testament. But when I read a book like Numbers, with the impalements, the hanging of people in the sun to appease God's, Jesus' wrath, Jesus ordained killing of women and children, I find it hard to believe that this is Jesus ordering such things. It doesn't fit his teachings in the New Testament of mercy, grace, and turn the other cheek. Excuse me. How can I read a book like Numbers and reconcile these commands of Jesus with his opposite teachings in the Gospels? It seems most Christians avoid reading the book of Numbers and just like to focus on the nice things in Romans or Corinthians.
Yeah, I especially like the nicer things in Matthew, like love your enemy.
Right.
So let's even step it up a notch. How could Jesus say love your enemy while at the same time being the guy who stood in front of Joshua as Joshua was about to go annihilate some Canaanites?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is that Jesus is both our God and our commander telling us how to behave and God who can execute judgment upon people. We've done some shows about the Old Testament where we've talked about some of these wars and battles in the Old Testament, and God was executing judgment on these nations. These were pagan nations where they were practicing things like child sacrifice. They would take their little children, their babies, and put them in fire and light them on fire. God had given them warnings to stop. Mm-hmm. They did not stop. So God was executing judgment on these nations to protect the earth, to protect the world. We can only imagine what things would be like if those nations had been allowed to exist.
Right.
So God was judging, which is his prerogative too. While at the same time, he is acting in love always. And so when he judges, we have to believe and understand there is some aspect of love there. It could have been that he was looking 1,000 years down the line and saying, man, if I don't do something about this now, the whole earth will become corrupt.
Right.
And so he had to execute a judgment when he saw that evil that they were doing to like these little children. At the same time, we see Jesus who comes, and now he's giving us lessons. Here's how I want you to live.
Right.
I want you to love your enemy. I want you to turn the other cheek. I want you not to judge people. But it's Jesus' prerogative to judge, even though we're not supposed to judge.
Right, and here's the thing. God's thoughts are way, way above ours. God's ways are way, way above ours. We can't see the thing that God can see. So who are we to ask?
And we as Christians are called to do different things than God can do. It's not so much what would Jesus do is our question. It's what would Jesus have us do?
Right.
And the answer is turn the other cheek.
Love one another, man.
So, yeah, that's the quick answer to that. You can also go to truthrevolution.tv and check out some of our other answers.
I think we failed, man.
No, we didn't fail.
No.
We didn't fail.
We're going to do the rest of them online.
Yes. We're going to go online. Go to truthrevolution.tv and we're going to hit these online. So if you want to know the rest of these, whatever, 10, 15 questions, go online and check us out. truthrevolution.tv. Also, let us know about the cracked book. Get over to Revolution Church and go to truthrevolution.tv right now for the rest of this show.
See you online.
Truth Revolution.
And we're online!
We didn't plan that. That was awesome.
Yeah. We've just become of one mind. It's like a hive mind in here.
We're going to... Hive mind? We are not the Borg.
I never mentioned the Borg, Jeff.
I know what the Borg are.
What, are you feeling guilty?
A little bit. No. All right. We're going to blow through these super fast.
All right. Here is the question that followed the question that was at the end of our our radio program. So now we're online. We're going to hit this one. All right. If religious people don't respect their children's right to pick their own religion at a time when they're able to make that decision, how can society expect religious people to respect anyone's right to freedom of religion?
Well, we should respect people's right to their own religion.
Yes, we should.
In society and with our children. If my children don't believe in Jesus, cramming Jesus down their throat will not help them.
No.
But praying for them and loving them and continuing to live in a way that Jesus would have me live is my best option.
Now don't take it that, you know, some of these Christians that like to condemn, they aren't living out the way Jesus wants them to live.
Sure.
You know, so praying for them, there's so many other ways to get people into the kingdom of God than bashing them over the head.
All right, this question's for Dave. If missionaries from your religion should be sent to convert people in other countries, should missionaries from other religions be sent to your country?
By all means, bring them over here.
Sure.
Because I don't care. They'll go home converted, I'm sure.
We believe we're right. They believe they're right. We are not going to stop them. We don't have a problem with them talking. As a matter of fact, I kind of like it when Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door.
Well, here's the thing, though. We believe that our God is powerful enough and that the things that God does and says are powerful enough to sway anybody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the word of God will not come back void. You know, and so you bring on a missionary from another country, another religion, and we'll see. And we may talk. I guarantee you that as long as they're going to be civil, I'll be civil back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not going to be civil, I'll just walk away.
Yeah, that's right.
So, all right. You want to ask me another question? Should I just continue?
Go for it.
Okay. If children are likely to believe in Santa Claus and fairies, does this explain why a religion has been taught in schools for thousands of years?
No.
What kind of question was that?
Well, he's trying to act like believing in God or teaching God is like teaching Santa Claus. Which is not, I mean, Santa Claus at least was based in reality on St. Nicholas. But, I mean, religion has basis with evidence, whereas fairies and Santa Claus does not.
Right, and that seems to be one of the things that he's throwing out is all the evidence. So,
mm-hmm.
When preachers and prophets claim to be special messengers of God, they've often received special benefits from their followers. Does this ever cause you to doubt their intentions?
Yes.
Again, it should. You know?
Of course it does. I mean, Jesus did not receive lots of money and accolades for becoming famous. Neither did any of the disciples. They received some monetary support to do the work of God. I believe people who are carrying the message from God should receive some financial support to carry a message from God, but they should not be getting rich. I mean, I think it's okay for them to live receive a good living, but being buying mansions and stuff, come on, man.
I want to make a marked difference here. I mean, I want to show a marked difference here. The money that we get from the offering at church does not go straight to Jeff. Okay,
let's wait, what? Why not? Just kidding.
Because we've discussed it on the board, Jeff.
I like how you were trying to back me up and like make sure my reputation was good, and I all like just threw it away.
We've discussed your salary on the board, Jeff, and I'm not at liberty to discuss it with you. So,
right? Am I up to seven figures yet?
No. And you won't be.
It does if you count a lot of decimal places.
That's true. All right. Let's see. When you declare a miracle, does this mean that you understand everything that is possible in nature?
Well, I get where he's going with this.
Because there are some things that have happened in the past that could be attributed to nature.
No, it doesn't mean that we understand everything possible in nature. Mm-hmm. It means that we think there's something really special going on, though,
right,
as far as we can understand it. Maybe the next question will illuminate this.
If a woman was cured of cancer by means unknown to us, and everyone declared it a miracle, would the chance of scientifically replicating this cure be more or less likely?
Well, I don't think that would make science's chances of replicating it be more or less likely. That would have nothing to do with the science.
Right.
See, a miracle doesn't have just to do with an amazing event. it also has to do with the timing and a declaration.
Yeah, we've talked about this on one of our shows too. Yeah, timing and declaration are probably two of the biggest things as far as miracles go.
Absolutely. You know, for instance, Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be very well true that some sort of windstorm or you know, whatever, a lodging in the river caused it to dam up and cause this ocean to do that. Right. Scientifically, we might be able to figure it out. But the fact that it did it right when Moses said, right when the Israelites needed to cross, and then it crashed back down right when their enemies were coming in, just when God wanted it to.
I would call that a miracle.
That would be a miracle. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we grow fingernails all the time. Let's just say sometimes fingernails grow super fast.
Mm-hmm.
Just if someone breaks their fingernail off, and then I put my hand on it and say, be healed, and take my hand off, and the fingernail's fixed, that's a miracle, even though we know how fingernails grow.
Right, because it's all about timing.
Right, just it's timing, it's a declaration, and it's at the moment, and the amazing event.
All right, if humans declared fire to be a miracle thousands of years ago, would we still be huddling together in caves while we wait for God to fire another lightning bolt into the forest?
No, not necessarily. Because Jesus was healing blind men, but that didn't stop anyone from researching eyes.
Amen. Good answer. Wow. If God gave a man cancer and the devil cured him to subvert God's plan, how would you know if that it wasn't a divine miracle? What if he was an unkind atheist homosexual?
I have no idea what the last part of that question has to do with the first.
Why does it even make a difference?
But what if the devil cured him to subvert God's plan? We have to say, first of all, that the devil's still under the authority of God.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, the Bible does tell us that there'll be things that people believe are miracles that are actually done by Satan or false prophets.
Right.
And so we do have to be very careful about what someone is teaching after they do a miracle. That's the big question. Not did they do a miracle, but what are their real intentions?
Right. And that last part of that question, what if he was an unkind atheist homosexual? Look.
Then he'd be a healed unkind atheist homosexual.
Right. And we would hope that maybe his curing would make him a little less unkind. You know, the thing is that God doesn't hate any of us, and we don't hate anybody that's like that either.
Right. And if he was converted, then we would hope that he would be a kind, theist, non-practicing homosexual.
There you go, because there's a difference. All right, should an instruction to convert to your religion upon the threat of eternal torture in hell be met with anything other than hostility?
Well, yeah. I mean, urgency, we're looking at this the wrong way. Urgency, that's a good one. We're looking at this the wrong way. It's not that God says, love me or I'll torture you. Is that God has said, there's a consequence for your bad behavior. I would like to take you to heaven anyway. I want to forgive you because I love you.
Right.
And if someone says, screw that, I don't care if you love me. I'm going to do things my own way, and I don't care that I've done things the wrong way. I'm not going to do it your way, God. I reject you.
Right.
Then they are accepting the punishment for their sins. That's all it is. If you reject God, God's not going to drag you into heaven. The only other alternative is hell. And you've accepted hell because you've chosen to do what you want rather than to do the right thing. Right. God wants to forgive you. He's put the option out there. He wants to forgive you. You can accept that. You can get good things from God.
Yeah, and I understand why people get mad when they hear about that, because nobody wants to be condemned, especially if they don't believe in God. They think you're condemning them. But that's not the case. We're trying to tell you the truth so that you can be saved.
Yeah, just to give a little perspective on what this question sounds like to us who believe in God, I have a daughter, and if she doesn't clean up her toys, I might say to her, the family's going out for ice cream. You need to clean up your toys if you want to go with us. If you do not clean up your toys, you're going to go to your room. It would be a totally illogical question for her to say, I ain't going to clean up my toys, but why wouldn't you give me ice cream anyway?
Right.
Well, no, that's not the point, dear. You have to clean up your toys if you want to come with us.
Right.
That's the way the world works. So if you choose to go to your room by not cleaning up your toys and not listening to me, that's your choice, honey. All right.
All right. Can a mass murderer go to heaven for accepting your religion while a kind doctor goes to hell for not?
Yeah. If you reject God's forgiveness, you go to hell.
Right. Plain and simple. Did the mass murdering crusaders and inquisitors make it into Christian heaven?
I don't know.
That's not for us to say.
Yeah.
All right. How can we know what is right when we don't know for sure who makes it into heaven or hell?
How can we know what is right? Because God makes it very clear to us what is right. Mm-hmm. You see, we don't get to heaven or hell because what we've done was right or wrong.
Right. It's not by our own merit.
Right. We go to heaven or hell because God has forgiven us, and we can either accept that or reject that. It doesn't, of course, we've all done wrong, so we're all deserving of punishment.
Right.
But God forgives you if you accept it.
Amen. If aliens exist
on... Oh, yes!
Aliens?
I hope they do.
If aliens exist on several worlds that have never heard of your God...
Yeah. Well, oh, wait. They've never heard of my God.
That's too bad.
Oh.
Let me start the question over again, Jeff. Quit interrupting me, all right? If aliens exist on several worlds that have never heard of your God, will they all be going to hell when they die?
I don't know what rules God has set up for another world.
Right.
I know that John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, this world, earth, mm-hmm. that he sent his son to this world to save us on this world." I don't really know what he's set up on other worlds, so I can't speak to that.
Right.
However,
deal in hypotheticals like that because we don't know the situation.
Yeah. However, I'd like to pose a question to him.
Okay.
If we find aliens on another planet and it turns out that they know the same God that we know, will you accept Jesus Christ?
Amen. We'll send that right back to him. All right. If someone promises you eternal life, the protection of a loving super being, a feeling of moral righteousness, a purpose for living, answers to all the big questions, and a rule book for achieving the pinnacle of human potential,
okay,
and all in exchange for having faith in someone that wasn't proven, wouldn't you be suspicious?
Yes.
That's human nature.
I would ask the question, is there any evidence for this? And if there was lots of good evidence, then I would probably go with it. Just like I believe there's lots of good evidence for our theistic God and for Jesus Christ. Go to truthrevolution.tv, kind sir.
There you go. We are down to two questions.
Yes!
If someone promised to give you $1 billion...
Yes! I accept. Thank you.
After 10 years.
Oh.
But only if you worshiped them until that time, would you believe them? If someone promised to give you eternal life upon death, but only if you spent your life worshiping a God, would you believe them?
I'd have to ask what the evidence was. Mm-hmm. Period.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right. Why does a religion appeal more to poor, weak, vulnerable, young, ill, depressed, and ostracized people? Could religious promises be more of a temptation to these people?
More of a temptation to them?
Mm-hmm.
I'd point it the other way, and I'd say what Jesus said. It is harder for a rich man to go to heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle.
Right.
Why? Because they want what this world has to offer mm-hmm. rather than what God has to offer.
I'm telling you, hey, if you're broken, you're right where God needs you to be. I've been there.
Yeah. I mean, there is this concept that says when things are going your way, you don't really think you need God. And almost every Christian's been there where things have been going well for them. And then they realize, I haven't been reading my Bible. I haven't been going to church. I haven't been praying. And something goes bad, and all of a sudden they're back on their knees. They're seeking God because they need God. So that's just human nature. When we're down and out, we need God to work in our lives. That doesn't mean God doesn't exist. That just shows what we're like.
Yeah, amen.
All right. TruthEvolution.tv, you're already at it. Why don't you go ahead and find some truth shots, or maybe contact us if you're interested in the Cracked acronym book. We're just trying to see if there's any interest in that whatsoever. There's a little bit, but we'll see if there's any more. And why don't you consider donating a book or two?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter how much or how little. Even a penny. I mean, you know, it takes funds to make this show go.
Yeah.
And we know we don't take anything for ourselves.
Or send in a question. We love questions. We just did 40 of them. So go ahead and send in a question at truthrevolution.tv. We try to answer every single one of them, either on air or via email. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.